We present The Elephant Man, starring Peter Serafinowicz. Episode 3, Keeper versus Keeper.
Oh, yeah. Bella. Oh, Bella. Oh, Bellamy.
Remember to lock up when you leave for work.
Mom? Oh, what time is it?
Just gone 10, dear.
10? I'm still lying here at 10 o'clock, having mildly erotic dreams about David Bellamy. I thought I asked you to check whether I was awake at 7:30.
Yes, dear, I did, and you weren't. I checked 8:30, too, and 9:30.
Oh.
Were.
Miss Stone, it's going to murder me. Hope you can live with that, knowing you personally incited the brutal disemboweling of your only son with a sharpened stiletto.
If you're going to be back late, dear, there's a spare key hidden in the usual place under the small purple hydrangea bush by the third paving stone from the left on the back patio in a Campbell soup tin labelled rat poison to confuse the burglars. And if you can't find that in the dark, then there's another one on a string through the letterbox.
Southwood Park Wildlife Centre, Stephanie Stonewick speaking.
Hi, it's me, Terry.
Oh, Terence. Will you perchance be honouring us later with the pleasure of your charming company?
Miss Stonewick, I'm sorry. I know what time it is.
Oh, excellent. When I fire you, you can get a job as a speaking clock.
I'll be in as soon as I can, Miss Stonewick. Honestly, just as soon as I've managed to find some clothes. Underpants!
Some women might be won over by your talking dirty, Terence, but not me.
Ah, there's a pair under the bed. Oh, looks like they were clean on with the Turing shroud.
Fortunately, Terence, your responsibilities will be somewhat downgraded as of this week, so your persistent absence isn't quite so inconvenient.
Guess I'll be all right if I turn them inside out. Sorry, Miss Stonewick, what were you saying?
I suppose you have some feeble excuse for an excuse again. Now let's think, what might it be this time, A plague of locusts over Cranby Close, maybe? Unexpected lunch date with Princess Diana?
It was my mother. Oh, she was suddenly, taken sick.
Oh, well, why didn't you say so? Yeah. I assume it's nothing life-threatening.
I'm about to leave, dear. Bye-bye. Oh, and if you're hungry, don't eat the bag of frozen broccoli because your father needs it for his lumbago.
life-threatening, you say? No.
So I'm dashing out.
Well, not yet, anyway.
Those are the headlines. I'm Melanie McDermott. Now back to the studio.
I don't believe this. Dad must have some shirt somewhere.
Well, hey! And a wacky, wide-awake welcome to one and all. It's 10:32 a.m. on this Wednesday morning. I'm Chris Torrid with you till 12 on your number one for fun station, Prozac FM. Now, if I said I had one hell of a lineup on today's show, I just know what you peeps would say.
I'd say, shut up, you talentless, patronising, overpaid little turd.
Me old son, go ahead and prove it. Well, folks, I am offering you, the listener, the chance to win an all-expenses-paid one-week safari holiday in deepest Africa. Because it's day two of our all-new Kenya Kick It competition. Call in now on Southwood 010101 and keep it tuned to Prozac FM, your number one for fun.
Prozac FM.
Number one for fun.
Oh, bingo. Bit tight under the arms, but it'll do. How does that look? Oh, God, no wonder Dad never wears it.
That's Southwood 010101. We're still waiting for that lucky caller number 3.
They are, you wee, sleek-it, cowering beastie. Hungry, aren't you? I'll bet you could eat a horse, eh? Well, Miss Stonewick is doing a deal with some suppliers in France, so you
morning,
never know.
Morning, Mr. McCann.
Oh, morning, laddie. I don't suppose you've seen young Terry today, have you?
Morning, Mr. McCann.
That'll be the third time this week he's turned up late.
Mr. McCann? I said morning.
Aye, laddie. Perhaps you'd hear me better if you took those headphones off.
I was just listening to the Chris Torridge show. He's wicked.
What do I keep telling you about wearing headphones at work, Adam?
I don't know. I can never hear you.
Oh.
You were asking something just now, yeah?
I was merely inquiring, laddie, as to whether you knew where Mr. Lyon was.
He's on the radio, Mr. McCann.
What? On the radio?
Yeah. Listen. Through the headphones.
All right.
Okay, folks, you're back with Chris Torrid's Morning Mayhem. And now, silence, please, ladies and gents. We have the final competitor in today's Kenya Kick It competition. He could be winning a week's holiday for two in Africa. He's on line one, Terry and Cranby. Howdy doody.
Howdy doody, Chris.
Ooh.
I'm a bit nervous.
No need to be nervous, old chap. You're only making a complete pillock of yourself in front of all of your mates. No, just my little joke. If you listen to my show, you probably don't have any mates. So tell me, old bucker, okay? Here we go for your chance to win that Serengeti Savannah Tabulous Safari Break. Just give me the correct answer to this question. Okay, for the holiday tezzer, what is the only big cat not native to Africa?
Jaguar.
Oh, that's easy. Even I knew that.
Gonna have to hurry and tell.
I know this. It was in the Osborne Junior Animal Encyclopedia.
Oh, come on, Mr. Lyon. You can do it.
5 seconds, Tez. 4, 3, 2...
A polar bear!
Bad luck, Tellboy. So close, but I'm afraid I can't accept it.
Prozac FM, number one for fun. Number one for public humiliation, more like. Thank God no one actually listens. And I can just tell it's going to be one of those days when I find out which cheeky sod parked his stonking great Range Rover right where I chained me bike up. I wouldn't mind so much, but my bike was still there when he did it. Hang on, who's been messing with my locker door?
I think you'll find that's my locker you're attempting to gain forced entry to.
I think I know where my own locker is, thank you very much, mister. Look, I'm way behind time. I need to get me wellies out. Have you done something to this door?
You'll find your Wellingtons over there, on top of your overalls, your signed photo of David Attenborough, and your considerably, well-thumbed copy of the Osborne Junior Animal Encyclopedia.
I don't believe this. Just who the hell do you think you are, chucking all my stuff out onto the floor? I'll have you know, pal, that I am the deputy head keeper around here.
I believe that should be, were the deputy head keeper around here, pal.
What?
Duncan Mansfield, associate keeper grade 2 reptile division. You must be Toby Lyon, associate keeper grade 2 elephant division.
I beg your pardon?
I believe the managerial term for it is downward retrenchment. Looks like you and I are partners. I'm sure in time we shall develop a harmonious working relationship.
Oh, yeah. Like Jimmy Hill and Alan Hansen. Excuse me, I've got animals to feed.
Catch you later. Oh, and by the way, Toby, love the outfit. There aren't many guys who can wear a woman's blouse and carry it off the way you do.
Listen, I did try to explain the situation this morning on the phone, but you just kept muttering something about underpants. How's your mother?
What? She's fine. Doctor says it's just a bit of, colic.
Colic?
No, not colic, no. Cholera,
what?
No. Colostomy, colon. Yeah, that's what it is. Colon's not working properly. It's more like, a semicolon at the moment.
I'm glad to hear it. Now, Terence, I fail to see why you and Duncan cannot work together in mutual harmony. He's simply here to raise the profile of the reptile house.
Oh, how appropriate.
The public just don't seem to find reptiles very sexy. I felt a more experienced, more motivated keeper might be able to boost the number of visitors here.
But reptiles just aren't sexy, Miss Stonewick.
I wouldn't say that.
There is nothing appealing about a creature that's cold and scaly and leaves its dead skin around the place.
And that never stopped Bob Monkhouse getting another primetime series on BBC One.
Anyway, how can we afford to hire a new man?
Well, obviously, Terence, as keeper grade two, you'll be taking a pay cut.
What? You mean that creep gets my salary as well as me locker?
Terence, why do you have to take such an instant dislike to the man?
Well, it saves time, doesn't it?
Oh, at your age. The last thing I need is my staff tearing each other's throats out. At least give the man a chance.
Yeah, well, I've given him everything else. You know, my job, my locker, my favourite shovel. Oh, God, I'm surprised you didn't give him me welly boots too whilst you were at it.
Well, no, after 15 minutes, he said they were playing havoc with his verrucas.
Yeah.
You know how much we need to improve our attendances. And Duncan Mansfield is one of the best in the business.
Well, I've never heard of him.
Well, proving nothing. You're the one who thought Whipsnade was Lindy St. Clair's country retreat. I assure you, Duncan has absolutely impeccable references. He's just returned from a 2-year project conserving endangered species in Africa.
Africa. I might have known.
Oh, yes. Terribly bad luck on that phone-in show. But I suppose caring for a bedridden parent does preoccupy the mind somewhat.
Hey, tough luck in the quiz, Mr. Lyon. You weren't far off.
Only 5,000 miles or so.
Oh, for goodness sake! Did everyone hear that bloody programme?
Look on the bright side. At least it wasn't TV.
I mean, that shirt.
Which charity shop did it come from? Colourblindness Research?
Yeah, yeah. So, whose round is it? I got the last one in.
Well, I got the one before that, and the crisps.
Oh, so I guess that means it's mine again. Unless Leonard here is going to treat us to a glimpse of that particularly rare and endangered species of moth.
Eh?
Pardon me, laddie, but you're the one responsible for the butterfly house.
The moth I had in mind, Leonard, was an elusive creature rumoured to inhabit the deepest recesses of your wallet.
Oh, I see. Sarcasm.
Anyway, I'm not responsible for the butterfly house anymore. Not since that dung heap bloke arrived and stuck his oar in. He claims butterflies are his territory now, too.
The name, I think you'll find, Terry, is Duncan.
Hi, Mr. Mansfield. I defrosted the anaconda's lunch, like you asked.
Thank you, Adam. Well, if you don't mind me joining this little social gathering.
Oh, no, not at all.
Can we take a vote on that?
Then perhaps I can buy you all a drink.
Oh, no, no, Duncan, my friend. You're the new boy around these parts. Let me buy you a drink. Double whiskey, all right for you?
Excuse me, I think I need a little lie down.
Ah, bonjour, monsieur, and welcome to L'Art de Crêpe. Une table pour one, monsieur?
No. Table for two, please. I'm meeting someone.
Oh, monsieur has a rendezvous avec une femme. C'est bon. Yeah. My table is bold as to recommend the oysters, monsieur. Ils sont formidables. Oui, oui, très formidables pour le hanky-panky.
No. Now, listen, I'm not meeting a woman, not... You know, like that.
Oh, monsieur is meeting an homme. Comprenez, monsieur. Here at L'Art de Crêpe, we understand. Complément. C'est pas de problème.
Look, mate. Not that it's any of your business, but I'm just meeting my friend. Ex-girlfriend, actually, for a quiet meal.
Mais naturellement. But you will be telling her you have found the new man, oui?
Sorry. Sorry I'm late. The buses were running on time and it caught me off guard.
Thanks for agreeing to meet me.
Well, you sounded so pathetic on the phone. But I don't want you to go getting the wrong idea about this.
No, really. I just needed someone to talk to. I think the Samaritans keep pretending to be out when I ring.
Samaritans? Oh, Terry, you never used to get so depressed. What's happened? Was it your parents? Was it us splitting up? Because, you know, it wasn't working. Something had started to come between us.
Yeah, it was my best friend, as I remember it. But it's not that, it's this new guy at the zoo. Duncan. He's making my life a misery.
Oh, Terry, you don't have to put up with that. There are industrial tribunals, discrimination laws. What's he doing to you, anyway?
Do you know what he's doing? He is being really smug. And he puts my dirty wellies on top of my signed photo of David Attenborough. And he gets my name wrong.
Right. And have you spoken to him about this?
Not exactly. He was in the bar this evening, but I left when he offered to buy me a drink. That was the last straw.
He offered to buy you a drink?
Yeah. But he did it in a really smug way.
I see. So, basically, Terry, you've made me cancel all my plans for the evening to come to this pokey little restaurant and commiserate with you over the torment of being offered a drink in a slightly condescending tone of voice.
Yeah.
So wine list, monsieur?
I'd back off, mate. My companion here gets very sensitive about that sort of thing.
There's more to it than you think, Margaret, honestly.
Look, Terry, if this is your idea of getting me back here to win my affections, then you're sadly mistaken. Good night.
Margaret!
Oh, and incidentally, what's with the woman's blouse?
You didn't know monsieur has another man, mademoiselle?
Then monsieur is welcome to him.
I was dressing in a hurry. It was just... wait, Margaret!
Oh, never mind, monsieur. Ne regrette pas. C'est la vie.
And you can shut up as well. Your name's Darren and you're from sodding Stockport.
Ooh, get her. Who rattled your cage?
Half a bottle of zebra tranquilizer. One king-size Mars bar, best before 1987. One crusty meat pie, age unknown. Oh, God, no. So that's where we put Tiddles the tortoise when he went into hibernation.
Would I be right in supposing you were looking for something, laddie?
My keys. The keys to the elephant house. Oh. This cupboard can't have been cleared out for decades.
Oh, well, I never look at this. Will you credit it? I wondered what happened to my Jimmy Shand LP.
Make that centuries. Look, have you seen my keys anywhere, Leonard? They're on a big metal keyring with one of those little gadgets that bleep when you clap your hands so you know where keys are. I don't believe this. I had them yesterday morning.
Well, this might sound like a silly question, Terry, but have you tried clapping your hands?
Yeah. No joy at all. I just can't seem to get the clap right.
Ah, many would see that as a blessing, Tobes. Lost something, have we?
Yes, thank you, Duncan. We have, as a matter of fact. We have lost the keys to the elephant house. Now, will Sir be requiring the fully inclusive gloating session or just a mild sneer topped off with some self-satisfied smarm?
There's no need to be sarcastic.
Why? Is that your job as well now?
I'm sure they'll turn up. In the meantime, if you'd be so kind as to fill in the appropriate documentation pertaining to the missing item...
You what?
Just one of the new systems I'm instigating with, of course, full managerial support from our boss. I think you'll agree this is a far more cost-effective modus operandi than that dreadful, dusty old lost property cupboard.
Good God, you're even starting to talk like Stonewick. I always thought they broke the mould after they'd made her.
And what do they do after they made you? Scrape it off?
Well, a lost property form. Excellent scheme. Means we can spend our time caring for these animals, not hunting around with some daft old bat who left a crocodile skin handbag beside the alligator pond.
Ah, thanks for the support, Leonard.
So if you'd like to take a copy of International Zoological Standard Form number 5414/74 Part C and complete where indicated, in order that we might register your keys as officially untraced items...
I suppose this is what you learned in deepest Africa, is it, Mr. Mansfield? How to fill in a form? What happened when people went into the jungle and never came back? Oh, I'm so terribly sorry, Mrs. Carruthers, but I'm afraid your husband is missing, presumed registered, an officially untraced item.
Please calm down, Terry. You're getting hysterical.
What about my flaming keys? There are animals in there that haven't been fed for nearly 24 hours.
And whose fault is that, hey?
Team, what is the meaning of this? They can't be standing around jabbering when there's work to be done. We should be integrating our individual motivational modules to work together as one complete whole.
There's only one complete whole around here and you're standing next to him.
No, let's now have no more of this. Come on, chop chop. What's that noise?
It's my keyring. My keyring that bleeps so I know where my keys are. Clap your hands again. Listen.
Well, I never. I must have brushed past the hook and knocked them into my pocket by mistake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, easily done, isn't it? Yeah. You know, I'd better be careful not to accidentally brush past a bottle of zebra tranquilizers and knock them into your tea by mistake. Pint, please.
Bitter, sir?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, honestly, I am bitter. I mean, how does toad spawn get into a pair of wellies by accident? I ask you. He's got it in for me and no mistake.
You're not still going on about that Duncan bloke, are you, Terry?
Margaret, what are you doing?
I just came in to apologise. I was a bit abrupt with you last night.
Can I get you a drink?
No, thanks, I'm driving. Still not resolved your differences, then?
Oh, resolved our differences. That man is so oily, red a dare comes round every time he breaks into a sweat.
I'm sure he's not as bad as you say.
He's even put up a staff league table based on the ideal employee criteria of presentation, politeness and professionalism. PPP, he keeps saying. I told him to pee off.
Staff league table? Now, that is a good idea. I must suggest that to my
boss. Don't you start! I'm not even in the same bleeding division as the rest of the staff, and there are only four of us. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to shout.
You know, Terry, on my way here today, I was really beginning to wonder why it was we split up. Because it does get lonely in that place sometimes, sitting there all night, listening to that old woman upstairs talking to her imaginary cats.
Yeah, well, so let's make it work, Maggie. Try again.
But this, today, it just makes me realise what a selfish, irritable, judgmental, sulky person you always were.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I said I'm not sulky.
I'm the lady on that one.
Oh, what are you doing here?
Ooh, merely passing through on the off chance that there might be some pleasant company present. And indeed there is. A very beautiful young lady, if I may be so bold. Wouldn't have had our Toby down as your type.
Oh, you're right, he's not.
Allow me to introduce myself. Duncan Mansfield, Deputy Head Keeper. Might I buy you a drink?
Well, I don't know, might you? I'd like it if you did. I'm Margaret, by the way.
Yeah. And she's driving.
Ooh, worry not. My Range Rover is in the car park, and I never touch anything except mineral water these days. You can't be too careful in the African jungle.
No. I expect you always travelled with plenty of cartridges and a fountain pen for filling in all those unexpected forms, yeah.
A colleague of mine got dysentery from the water there. Terrible business. Poor fellow ended up crouching over a hole in the ground with his trousers round his ankles. He was no match for a hungry jaguar in that state.
Oh, a jaguar got him, did it? Shame it was too full for a second helping.
I say, Duncan, there's a little French place just round the corner. Tuto Le Crepe. Why don't you tell me all about your staff league table over a plate of oysters and a dry white wine?
Oh, I'd be honoured to entertain you, Marguerite. It's a rather fine system, and though I do say so myself, I'm frequently complimented on the efficiency of my scoring methods.
You know she's only doing this to annoy me. Aren't you, Margaret?
See you in the morning, Toby. Oh, and don't worry if I'm a little late.
Glasses, please. Let's have you doing your walking and your talking, gents.
I believe for every drop of rain that falls...
That's for those of you who are still capable of either. Come on, Mr. Lion, don't you have a home to go to?
Not since she kicked me out. I could have loved that woman, you know.
No.
But hey, if that's the way she wants it, fine. Yeah. I've got all my life to live. I've got all my love to give. I'll survive. I will. Survive.
Go on now, go. Walk out the door. Just turn around now. I reckon I better call you a taxi, Mr. Lyon.
No, I'm all right. I only take taxis when I'm too... pissed to walk, you know. On second thoughts, I think I'll sleep in the elephant house. At least then I'll be here on time tomorrow morning. Sorry, street porter. Mind your trunk. Come on, just shift up a bit. Typical female hogging all the space. there, that's it. At least you're still my friend. What's that? Oi! Stop right there! Whoever you are, I've got a gun.
So have I.
Oh, damn. I was hoping that you didn't. There's a light switch.
Toby?
Duncan? I never thought I'd say this, but thank goodness it's you. I thought you were some kind of homicidal intruder.
I thought you were.
Just a second.
What are you doing here so late?
I'm not late. I'm 8 hours early. I'm just trying to earn a few more gold stars on the old league table. So why are you here in the middle of the night, then? And why are you pointing that gun at my head?
Oh, gee, Walter, honey, will you just look at that? Get a load of those cute little ears and that funny, pointy thing on its head.
Madam, if you don't mind, I am an officer of Her Majesty's Police Force. Would you kindly refrain from fingering my helmet like that?
Oh, look, Pumpkin, he talks as well. Oh, how quaint.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Now, Mr. Lyon, to continue your statement regarding the events of last night, you say you turned the light on and saw Mr. Mansfield pointing a large hunting rifle at you. Now, what do you remember after that?
Well, not much, actually. He hit me on the head with the large hunting rifle.
And that was when you opened the door of the Elephant House, Miss Miller?
Yes. We spent the evening in Tout au Le Crêpe.
You mean what?
It's a French restaurant. Oh. Something to do with pancakes, I think. Oh. I'd only gone along with him to put Terry's nose out of joint.
Oh, well, congratulations, it worked.
At about 11:15 p.m., I asked him to drive me home. He said he had to check on something at the zoo first, and would I mind waiting in the car?
Yes.
I said no, but that worried me. See, I've been suspicious of him all evening. Ever since he'd said about his friend in Africa being attacked on the toilet by a hungry jaguar.
Sounds highly suspicious to me, miss. Everybody knows jaguars are native to the American subcontinent, not Africa.
Precisely. Now, by a stroke of luck, I just heard that on a radio show.
Oh.
But if Duncan was a genuine bona fide zookeeper, he'd obviously know, goes without saying.
Probably.
So when he hadn't come back after 15 minutes, I followed him. He went into the Elephant House carrying this big gun, and I waited behind the door. Then I heard voices and someone screaming. So I ran inside, sprayed perfume in his face, and stabbed him with one of my stiletto heels.
Indeed, yes. You'll be pleased to know that the operating team did manage to successfully remove your footwear from the private parts of the accused.
Oh, there's a pity.
And as for the perfume, well, there's no permanent damage to his eyesight, but he has been chatted up by three of St. Thomas's male nursing staff, I believe. Ah, Constable Green. Any developments?
Yes, Sarge. I've just heard from the hospital.
And?
Apparently he's got a date for Thursday night.
Oh.
Oh, and we have a positive ID on our suspect.
Oh.
Real name, Angus O'Brien. Works at the Mega World Virtual Reality Theme Park. He admitted he was plotting to sabotage Southwood over the holiday period.
Sabotage?
Yeah. Make sure you got no visitors. A lot of adverse publicity.
Waste of time. We can do that ourselves without even trying.
So he was going to shoot the animals?
Oh, no, no. The gun was a replica. Just to scare people. He was going to release the animals. That local locksmith testified he had cut 12 sets of keys that afternoon.
So that's why he had them in his pocket.
Well, well, I see we have a hero in our midst.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Miss Stanwyck, but it was nothing, really.
We're all truly grateful for your quick thinking, Margaret. You really did save the day.
My headache's almost gone now, thanks for asking.
Yes, well, that'll teach you to go drinking yourself paralytic, won't it, Terence? Looks like yet another gold star to be knocked off the old league table, hmm?
Excuse me for butting in, but...
Yes?
You said he had 12 sets of keys cut.
That is correct, I believe, miss, yes.
Well, it wouldn't have taken him 15 minutes just to walk to the Elephant House.
Oh, no.
Implying what, exactly?
Well, officer...
There are some highly suspicious animal tracks leading into the restaurant.
And either that man there has a very bad wig on, or there's a bird-eating tarantula about to crawl down his neck.
Oh, oh, good Lord. Oh. Bless my soul, I bet.
You've been listening to The Elephant Man, written by D.A. Barham, starring Peter Serafinowicz as Terry, with Chris Emmett as Leonard, Geraldine Fitzgerald as Maureen, Melanie Hudson as Margaret, and Richard Pierce as Adam. Joanna Monroe played Stephanie, and Wayne Forrester played Duncan. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The programme was produced by Richard Wilson.